T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Based on his track record.
I don't, but I'll feel a lot better. Surround him with better players. I think the best coach is usually the one with the best players. You get him better players, I'll feel better. I think the best managers are the managers with the best lineup, wouldn't you say?
I don't think it's analogous at all to compare baseball managers to
Well, I was only saying that because we have Greg Brown on the line.
Yeah, I know. You kind of fell on the sword for me there, but I had to
And he's brought to you by Gutter Helmet. Don't overlook your home's gutter system, 8885-HELMET. Greg, we started the show trying to compare and contrast. I sound like I'm writing an essay in fourth grade.
Jared Jones is a land of contrast.
Yes, we were trying to compare Jared Jones to past pitchers we've seen. Who does he call to mind for you, Brownie?
Nobody in the Pirates that I can remember. Because I've been thinking about that for a while. I can't think of anybody like him. And I've heard other comparisons now because he's not a very big guy. I've heard the Tim Lincecum comps. I guess Lincecum threw hard, but I don't remember Lincecum as well.
Lincecum was like a .150, so he's like a true outlier.
He also had a very weird delivery.
Very strange, very unique.
Threw some unbelievable breaking stuff, but Jones is a much bigger guy than him. So when I've heard that one too, Brownie, and I think that's actually short selling how ridiculous Lincecum was.
Well, I've got to go back and look and see how hard Lincecum threw, because I don't remember him throwing 100 miles an hour. Maybe he did.
So
he was mid to upper 90s, I think.
Well, then for me, the comparison might end there.
I just don't know anybody.
Maybe did Oswalt throw this hard?
That's the thing. Nobody throws this hard, Greg. And the name
and
that
Oswalt
comes
had that great. And maybe someday this guy will have a great curve. I mean, he's got a decent curveball now. Who knows? The sky's the limit for him. But
if he develops a great curveball, no one's going to ever sniff
world.
A pitch.
Last night he threw a handful of curveballs starting to and it bat off, and these guys didn't know what to do with it. He is absolutely, and I don't know if we talked to you about this last week or not, but I remember going to spring training, and I know the name was out there, and people talked about this guy might have the chance to make the team, but I didn't think so, because, you know, frankly, look what happens now. I mean, he's on the team at the beginning of the year. And it's rare when a rookie like this makes the club out of spring training.
Also, he didn't exactly light up AAA last year, Greg. I mean, he had
that's true too.
Pedestrian numbers there.
Yeah, his control number. That's the other thing that makes him unique is his control numbers are so much better, like crazy good now. And they were, as you say, the average, maybe pedestrian in the minor leagues in terms of his control numbers. It baffles me to see this guy doing what he's doing to these major league hitters. And by the way, he's also facing legit lineups. It's not like he's landing against just decent hitters. I mean, they're all good in the big leagues. And
he's gone against the Orioles and the Brewers, though. The Brewers came in with, I think you guys put it up on the TV side last night, Greg, like top three or
four.
They're
hitting a lot of home runs.
In every category that matters on offense, and he shut them down.
This goes back to the time he went down to Northport, and we were not doing that game. It was a split squad, and he took on the Atlanta Braves, and that's when I really took notice without even seeing just the numbers he was putting up. Mm-hmm. And they had everybody in that lineup except Acuna, and he was striking out a bunch. I think he threw, I don't want to say like 5 innings of one hit ball, something crazy. But yeah, he's a ton of fun to watch, man. Oh, that's for sure.
Brownie, I have one theory on why the control's better. I got to talk to him the day before he made his debut against the Marlins, and he just talked at length, and I thought it was actually interesting to hear a guy be this open about it, that he just had learned over the years in the minors to trust his stuff, that it was good enough to get guys out and miss bats, and I'm wondering if he's just throwing it with more conviction because he's not afraid of, you know, having to put it in the exact right spot every time. But then that also gets me to this thing about him. If you're looking for pure arm talent, I guess Garrett Cole's the obvious choice, even though he was a much bigger guy physically. The difference I've noticed, I don't know if you have, is that it just appears very early in his career that he has much better command of his pitches, especially his off-speed stuff, than Cole did in June of 2013.
Without a doubt. That's the thing. He's got command of every... that's the other thing, too, about trying to think of a guy, especially in a Pirate uniform, who's come out and done this. But the command, you know, Cole, his first, he was obviously a power pitcher and a good one, but he had to work hard on that command. And there were nights, and there will be for Jones, which is not there, but there were nights where you could see, initially anyway, in Cole's first few starts anyway, where he labored. Not every night, but I'd say the majority of nights he worked hard to get through his outings. This guy, I mean, you know, he doesn't even, not that he's effortless on the mound, but he's in such control, such command of the zone. He's got such great command and control of his motion and his body. He just is so focused. And for 22 years old to go out there and do this, that's the other thing.
I love his
attitude.
He's
going out there like he's Nolan Ryan.
Exactly. I love his attitude, Greg. It's just,
yeah.
It's awesome.
It's crazy.
He's the most exciting Pirates rookie, I'll say, that I count like 92. I sort of, you know, what a year to start watching the Pirates and understand what you're watching at 7 years old, Brownie. But in that span of time from 92 or so until now, I said this to Andrew, and it probably sounds like typical radio guy hyperbole. He is the most exciting electric rookie I've seen for them at any, you know, position wise, pitcher wise. He is the most exciting player I've seen.
Well, he's, you know, it's a little different for me because I wasn't anticipating this. So it's kind of, he's kind of burst onto the scene because he didn't have the buildup like a Pedro Alvarez when Pedro got here, even a McCutcheon.
Yep.
You know, that buildup took place during the course of the season. Skeens is going to be that way. But
it's kind of like Tim Wakefield, Greg.
Yeah,
just
yeah,
came out of nowhere.
Yeah, that's a good point. Now maybe again in the front office, you know, they had all this information and they were well aware of this, but I wasn't. I wasn't aware that somebody could come in and dominate from day one at the beginning of the year. And Wakefield, yeah, came on with the knuckleball, of course, mid summer of 92 and dominated. So I guess you could say this guy's fastball, you could relate to Wakefield's knuckleball in terms of comps, trying to figure out in Pirates history. You know, the guy he's been compared to is Jose De Leon in 1983.
Well, that's
in terms
all
of the strikeouts.
We keep seeing the guys who he's like in line with, four guys, five guys, and De Leon's name is always on those lists, Greg. I'm like, wow.
Always.
I don't even remember
and De Leon,
that.
So De Leon, I'm old enough to remember him. Now, what I talked to Bob Walk about that. He was a teammate of De Leon's, and he said, well, that's not a great comparison because De Leon's splitter was the thing that's how he dominated in terms of the strikeouts. He'd get guys swinging at those splitters in the dirt and rack up the strikeouts. So, again, going back to a power arm and the tight slider, he's basically been throwing two pitches with an occasional, you know, curveball and change up, and I guess it's just one of those things where we just got to just enjoy every 5 days and watch what takes place.
Well, I get goosebumps thinking about him and Skeens 1-2 in a rotation.
Oh my gosh, you're not. Oh my gosh, so do I. I mean, you know, all of a sudden it's Skeens and Jones and Keller, and then you mix in a Perez, I want to say a soft tossing lefty, but compared to Jones, he certainly is. You know,
we got to get Keller figured out, Greg. I don't know what's going on there. We got to get that figured out.
What needs to be figured out?
Well, I mean, I don't want Keller to have a 4.80 ERA the entire season.
Well, I mean, if you watch him pitch, he's gotten way better since his first couple starts. Each time out, he's gotten better. And you know, maybe when the season ends, you know, maybe he's fitted as a 2 or 3 rather than a 1, and maybe that's the way it's supposed to be. And
yeah, I'm
going
to be honest with you, though. Still looks nothing like the guy I watched before Mother's Day of last year, where for the first 2 months or the first 10 starts or 12 starts of the season looked like he was maybe one of the 10 best pitchers in baseball. Not
yeah,
even
I think
close.
I think that's because the adjustment that big league clubs make when they find out, you know, I think he, when he developed the two seamer and went to that, then all of a sudden there's this adjustment, and they'll make this adjustment with
Jones,
with Jared Jones. Don't kid yourself. They will. They're too good. And that's what's going to be also fascinating to see, you know, how quickly does he counterpunch? When do they start to figure him out? What does he do? You know, he seems to be certainly incredibly mentally strong and tough, and will figure it out. But that's the thing. And so Keller, it's a constant game with these guys. And Keller's doing that. He's adjusting and figuring. Keller's becoming a pitcher. That's the thing about it that I like. He's figuring it out.
Nothing's coming easy for him. Do you know what? Like, that's just my, that's just the thing when I watch him. It's everything seems laborious with him right now, Greg. It's off to a bad start in a game. Then he settles in, but he's already given up three runs. And it's like, okay, great that you got through the lineup a second time clean. But the first time you gave up three or four runs.
Well, I don't see it that way, Andrew. I certainly don't see it like the last start. I take it start by start with him. And the last start was so disjointed and so unfair to him. The little dribbler up the third baseline with a runner at third. Yeah, the first guy whacked him for a triple.
Fair enough.
I mean, by the way, we have not talked since his start on Saturday. I've never seen, and I don't like to criticize these umpires because I think they're the best in the world. I've never seen that at bat that Tristan Casas had. The whole thing changes. He had three pitches in the strike zone. Three. The same at bat to one batter that were called balls, and he ended up walking the guy. So his outing completely changes if it's a strikeout as it should have been. I've never seen anything like it. But so be that as it may, the point is that Keller, I believe, is getting better as he goes along and adjusting, and I love watching him pitch too.
Greg, thanks. We'll be watching you on TV tonight with Matt Capps for the Pirates and Brewers, 7 o'clock here on The Fan. Pre-game starts at 5:45. Thank you.
Thank you, boys.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Top 20, is that what you do?
We mock it for us, if that's what you're asking. It's a waste of time to try to figure out how others might address their needs and things of that nature. We mock it for us.
When you do that, you look at, you rank like this, in this instance, the 20 best players or the 20 players you think you might have shot at?
Best.
All right, so they just ranked the 20 best players. That means Caleb Williams is one, even though they know they're not going to get him. And they have no intention on trading for him?
I bet you there's not a ton of quarterbacks on that because we feel like the quarterbacks get inflated up the list every year.
But also, how much time do they even spend scouting those guys?
They just put Caleb Williams in one, flick his name over there, and be done with it. In the unlikely event, Caleb Williams slides from 1 to 20 in the draft.
I still have questions about the way they rank their guys.
You think Tomlin's just telling them a little fib there?
He says he lies all the time.
Well, yeah, so why do we believe anything he says?
Good point. All right, these are the top five players who will be the Steelers' first-round pick. I'm not ranking them like the Steelers' best to worst. This is likelihood that they will be the Steelers' first-round selection. And I'm saying first and not 20 because that does involve trade-ups and trade-downs.
Okay. Donnie, we should keep track. You should get to do this tomorrow, and I should get to do it Thursday.
Okay. Honorable mention, I have Quinyon Mitchell here from Toledo. I think that is one of the guys they're a snake in the weeds on. It seems like they've done very little scouting of him. They didn't bring him in for a visit. They elected to talk to DeJean from Iowa, the great white hope at corner.
He's already being mocked as Chris Sims already said he's a safety in the NFL.
And Nate Wiggins, the very diminutive in terms of size, very skinny, very frail.
String the diminutive bean, teddies.
But a speed merchant corner. Those are the two guys they've been linked to more as first-round corners. but they loved Mitchell at the Senior Bowl. They also have a penchant for loving great MAC players. And if he were to fall all the way to 20, I think they would be tempted to take him, but I don't think that'll happen. That's why he didn't crack my top five.
Top three MAC players of the Steelers' tenure, like overall, their history.
Roethlisberger 1, Jack Lambert 2.
Where's AB rank?
AB 3.
Got James Harrison 2, could be an honorable
mention.
James
Harrison 4. What a list.
I might put AB 1.
Ahead of Lambert?
Ahead of everybody. Just to make people mad.
All right. 5 on my list is Fautanu from Washington. I'm putting him there because I think they'd be intrigued with the versatility.
Can play all 5.
He can play tackle. He can play guard. He can play center.
Why isn't he getting talked about the way Barton is, where everyone's just raving about Barton in that
way? I have
him
lower on my list because I think he'll go in the early teens.
But he plays in bike shorts. Did you know that that makes people mad?
What do you mean?
He and Ricky Pearsall both, I guess, I forget who it is who's dinging these guys for it. Say, I think it might have been Rick Spielman. We might have to ask Ryan Wilson about that. Is mad because these guys like roll their game pants up and play basically with what amounts to like bike shorts.
And so their knees are exposed? And
yeah, knees and lower leg.
Therefore, maybe susceptible to lower body injuries?
I have no idea. But that's apparently
I've never heard that.
People are saying that.
Number 4 for me is J.C. Latham.
Okay.
The right tackle from Alabama. I just don't hear a lot on him. They went to his pro day. They didn't bring him in for a visit. I think just from experience at right tackle, he's got the best right tackle resume in the draft. And it doesn't sound, well, let me retract that. I think if the Chargers trade out of their pick and move down, I think that that's to take Latham. So that would be a big hurdle for me. You've also got the Bengals who already have Orlando Brown at left tackle and need a right tackle, and they pick a couple spots ahead of the Steelers. But I have a hard time gauging how much they like him. I assume they like him because everybody does. They all think he's going to be a very good right tackle, so he's 4.
Pony, are you aware of what our guy, Tony Pauline, has said about the Steelers and one particular player already named on your list?
Who? Fautanu?
Mitchell. Per Tony Pauline, this is our pal Alex Cazora putting this out there, Steelers in talks with Broncos to trade up to number 12 and take Mitchell.
What? When did this come out?
He tweeted this 2 minutes ago while you've been, I don't want to say bloviating because I have a lot of respect to you, but you've been putting your picks out there. Yes.
Holy crap.
That's per Tony Pauline. We need to get Tony on the line for this one. Not today, maybe, but tomorrow. I'm told the Steelers and Broncos are talking trade as Pittsburgh is another team that is targeting Mitchell and would move up to draft him. That is what Tony Pauline
Donnie,
said.
Donnie, text Tony right now and see if he can come on at 5:15 or 5:30. Let's see if we can make that happen in short order. Thank you for pointing that out to me, Malzie.
You're welcome.
3 on my list, top 5 players who will be the Steelers' first-round pick. I have our guy, Talese Fuaga from Oregon State. And my whole spiel was going to be, that's a trade-up guy for them. But now, I don't know what to say. Because I do respect Tony. He's gotten a lot of things right.
I know, I'm sorry. I threw you for a complete loop
in there. No, that's a good
loop,
though.
Oh, it's a loop, all right, Chalooch. I've got another one up my sleeve, too.
I think Fuaga is the platonic ideal as far as, like, the personality and attitude they want out of an offensive tackle. And I think he's got the tape. But I've got him lower than another tackle on this list because I think he could go as soon as the 13th pick in the draft to the Raiders. I could see that happening.
I mean, for a while, he was getting mocked in the top 5.
Number 2, Amarius Mims.
Now it's back to Amarius for anyone that's scoring at home. Not Amarius. We were wrong, apparently.
But I'll say this about Mims. Okay, so this is what I'm going to say about Mims. I think he will be there. I think 19 teams will pass on him. It's just a matter of what else is out there when the Steelers are on the clock, but I think they will at least have to consider him because of all the tackles that are first-round locks, I think he will still be available at 20. Barely played, we know that. Injuries, etc., but huge
not
upside.
Really, but not really injuries that, like, scare you long-term.
It's not like Jarvis Jones and the...
It's not like Darnell Washington just from last year where it's a degenerative knee.
What, did Jones have stenosis, I believe?
Yeah, he did have spinal stenosis.
Number 1 is Graham Barton.
If Barton's gone, Mims the guy? You said you think Mims will be there. If Barton goes, say, the Seahawks, who I think in Donnie's mock of the day were taking, what, Dallas Turner? or whatever, Jared Verse, an edge at 16. If the Seahawks, who we know need a center, don't take or they do take Barton, what do the Steelers do?
Then I think that's why I have Mims too.
Okay.
I think Mims is the safe. Like, he's not a safe player, but I think he's the safe pick for them. So my top five players who will be the Steelers' first-round pick. Fautanu, 5. Latham, 4. Fuaga, 3. Mims, 2. Barton, 1. But now you guys have me very intrigued about Mitchell.
I've got another potential Steelers draft day trade nugget for you as well. When do you want it?
Let's do that after the debrief. Follow us on Twitter, brought to you by South Hills Key and Peters Township. Well, that is some...
He's on tilt, Donnie. He's on tilt. You know why? And it's the sources. It's Tony Pauline, who we all like and respect. He's a long time, like, big time draft guy. And then when Kazora gets his tiny little paws on it, Pony just, woohoo, what's going on here? If that came from Vinny Boom Bots, you wouldn't care, and nor should you, but it comes from those two.
Something about trading with the Broncos from pick 20 just gives me bad
vibes. Because it's Devin Bush vibes.
Yes.
But you're at least only trading up to pick 12 and not 10. If it was trading for pick 20 to 10 with Denver, I'd just say go into the other direction. Go screaming in the other direction.
The other thing is, if they were to do, like, they're going to try to make that trade now. How do they even know that Mitchell is still going to be there at 12? I mean, he probably will be.
I guess here, just for one.
How do you make that trade right now?
Here's one little devil's advocate sort of thought to that. Say you make that trade and somehow he's not there. Worst case scenario, you probably have Fautanu, Fuaga, somebody like that there, and you have elevated yourself into that class of tackles that's probably a surer thing than Mim.
It's time for the Donnie Football Debrief, and it's brought to you by Saloni's Italian Bread. Donnie.
The debrief. April 23, 2024. Mel Kiper has released his top 150, the big board. The Mel Kiper big board.
On the same day that Todd McShay reported on Mel Kiper that the man does not own a cell phone and that he just has 5 landlines and you have to call him on one of the landlines to get in touch with him, or you have to text his wife and ask her to get a message to Mel, and then he calls you from his house in Maryland.
Can I just state for the record,
is that more absurd than the pumpkin pie every single day?
Time out. You guys are looking at this all wrong. That is a massive flex for Mel Kiper.
Totally agree.
Just an unfathomably large flex. I'm not even sure he has a computer. In fact, I think it's very possible that if he has one, it's like one of those old white Gateway 2000 desktops from like literally the year 2000.
Well, how's he watching film then, Chris?
He gets sent DVDs still? Like, he's the only man keeping Netflix, like DVD
companies
in business?
He specifically throws the request out there, like, if you want me to...
He's got, like, the old reel-to-reel thing where he's got, like, old, you know, what is it? What were films printed on back in the day? The really flammable crap. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, he gets out the...
5 landlines.
He gets out that yellow notepad.
Does he have a dog that we know of?
I think he does, actually.
That dog's got to be going nuts all day with phones just ringing. Landline. That's the one pain in the ass of having landlines. They have to ring.
How does he check scores and how does he watch games when he's out? That's what I don't get.
Does he read, like, the paper? Does he go on to just ESPN.com and he's just checking scores there? What a guy. An analog man in a digital world. Good for Mel.
Absolute legend.
No cell phones.
That's beautiful.
Did you guys talk about Bill Tobin the other day? What day did he pass away? Was that Friday or Saturday?
We mentioned it in passing, yeah.
Yeah, we mentioned it. Yeah, because that's one of the greatest draft
moments.
Who the
hell is Mel Kiper?
One of the draft moments that made it must-watch television.
My favorite thing about that... Who the hell is... I'll tell you who the hell Mel Kiper is. He's the guy who's telling you screwed with that pick, idiot. Best part about that entire exchange, of course, they loved Marshall Faulk and then they hated Trev Alberts. The guy Kiper wanted him to pick
was Dilfer.
Sucked just as badly.
Yeah,
is widely regarded.
Trent Dilfer.
Widely regarded as the worst quarterback to ever win a Super Bowl.
And there's a story behind why he did that, too.
Why Mel did it?
Yes. Because he's a Baltimore resident, and he's a lifelong Colts and Orioles fan.
Pissed that they moved the team.
And he was still livid that they left for Indianapolis, and that's...
Very pure.
Always could twist the knife on the Colts whenever he got a chance.
Very pure.
Did you know that Boomer Esiason told the Colts, because he went to Maryland when they were still in after they had just left Baltimore for Indy, if you draft me, I'll sign in the USFL, F you. That, I'll never play for the Indianapolis Colts.
I've got to root for that from Boomer, too. Now, does Boomer, question, does Boomer have like a soft spot for the Ravens because they finally got a team back there?
I don't know. I don't think so.
Or does he just become like a total New Yorker?
No, he grew up in New York, so I think it's...
Well, no, yeah, you're right. He's from Long Island, but like, so he only has affinity then for Maryland Terrapins.
Yep.
Okay. But then that's weird. But that's weird that he adopted the Baltimore Colts enough that he was. Or is it because he felt like if I play for the Colts in Indy as a Maryland grad, Maryland fans will think I'm a turncoat?
It had just happened. It was going to be their first year in Indianapolis,
I know,
so the wound was still wide
open.
But
you understand why I'm saying he must have thought that it would make Maryland people mad if he just immediately turned tail and played for them. Okay.
All right, Donnie, let's get to this 150.
Okay, so he has Caleb Williams, number one. Not too much of a surprise there. Jaden Daniels he has at number two. Then he has a couple of receivers, Marvin Harrison Jr., Roma Dunze, Malik Nabers at 3, 4, and 5. Doesn't have Drake May until number six. Brock Bowers is number seven. Joe Alt is the first offensive lineman that comes in at number eight. He has Fatanu at 10. So that is the highest-rated interior offensive lineman on his board. He has J.C. Latham right after that at 11. Mm-hmm. And then you'll notice a little bit of a drop-off once we get to some other tackles that the Steelers might be linked to. Fashanu is 13. J.J. McCarthy all the way down at 15. Fuaga at 16. Then he has a couple more receivers, one of them being Brian Thomas Jr., but I was more interested. Graham Barton is 19 on his, by the way. And since we were just talking about Mitchell, he's number 20.
There's one thing about this list, I'm sorry to cut you off for a second, that I find really interesting. Mitchell's not his top-ranked corner.
Arnold?
No.
No, DeGene.
DeGene. Good for Mel not automatically just saying, well, he's a white guy. He must be a safety in the making. He said, here's what he wrote. He has DeGene at 14, so he's got him 6 spots clear of Mitchell. He played in the slot and out wide, showing off tremendous speed to stick to receivers. He's just silky as a cover man. He has the physical tools to be the top corner in this class.
Amarius Mims is 23. Then he has Penix at 24. Then he gets to the just listing of 26 through 150. And a couple of ones that caught me a bit off guard. So Zach Frazier, who we have seen rising in these last few weeks, and it looks like he will be a tail end of the first round pick. He has him all the way down at 53. Hmm. And then Jackson Powers Johnson, a few spots below that. Now Johnson has been going the other way. He has been sliding. He has that name all the way down at 57. So he had, now these aren't necessarily a perfect correlation of what spot in the draft these guys will go.
Some more how he ranks them, not where he's projecting they're going to get
correct
picked.
Yeah. Now, but this, based off that, he sees them as middle of the second round players that I think have been tied to the Steelers for a little while just because of their need at center.
I think this goes back to what Chris has said. I think this is a positional value thing. I think Mel is a big believer that you don't use premium picks, so you don't rank as high. Running back's number one, and then I think center would be the second position.
Probably inside
on
backer.
On offense.
Oh, on offense, yeah.
Yeah.
I wonder how many organizations feel that way.
A lot, I think.
I still think the Steelers are more likely to feel that way as well, which is why if they take Barton at 20, I'll be frustrated by it.
So
I'll feel like there are more valuable players at more valuable positions left on the board.
He has Barton at 19.
No, he loves him.
Yeah.
He loves Barton.
But I don't think he just sees him as a strict center.
He doesn't. Like, he listed off about how the NFL will love his game-to-game consistency, his experience, his versatility. He said he could play any spot along the line, but then he said, I see his best pro fit at center, which is why he's my top-ranked player at the position. I think he'll go in the 20s on Thursday and be an instant starter.
Yeah, just play him at right tackle and slide Jones over to left and then draft Frazier in the second round.
See, in that answer, perfect. I wonder, if he was strictly a center and did not have left tackle experience, would he still rank him?
That highly.
19?
No.
I don't think he would.
This does, if you believe Mel and you think most people feel as Mel does then, you know what it makes me cross my fingers and hope for? That one of those, that Frazier especially, slips to 51.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.